Hello, and welcome to PW KidsCast, the children's book podcast from Publishers Weekly. In each episode, we speak with authors and illustrators creating books for children and teens. I'm Emma Cantor, Deputy Children's Book Editor at Publishers Weekly. Today, I'm speaking with author Dan Gemeinhardt about his new middle grade novel, Coyote Lost and Found. The book is out on March 5th from Macmillan's Henry Holt Books for Young Readers imprint, which is sponsoring this podcast. Dan Gemeinhardt is a former elementary school teacher librarian. His previous books for young readers include The Midnight Children, The Honest Truth, Some Kind of Courage, Scar Island, and Good Dog. In his new book, he returns to the characters of his 2019 novel, The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise. It's been almost a year since Coyote and her dad left the road behind and settled down in a small Oregon town. Time spent grieving the loss of her mom and sisters and trying to fit in at school. But just as life is becoming a new version of normal, Coyote discovers a box containing her mom's ashes, and she thinks she might finally be ready to say goodbye. So Coyote and her dad gear up for an epic road trip to scatter the ashes at her mom's chosen resting place. The only problem? Coyote has no idea where that is, and the secret's hidden in a book that she mistakenly sold last year somewhere in the country. Now it's up to Coyote to track down the book without her dad finding out that it's lost. Welcome back to the podcast, Dan.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited and happy to be here with you.
So we spoke a few years ago when The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise was first released, and it's been great to see how warmly the book has been embraced by readers, booksellers, and librarians too. I'd love to know what brought you back to Coyote's story in this new book.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you. And you kind of answered the question right there, because one of the reasons I wanted to come back to this character is because the first book was so warmly received, and folks have been great for the last, I mean, it's been 5 years, the last 5 years, teachers and kids and librarians, and I get emails and letters and do school visits, and people just really took Coyote into their hearts. And it's just, as an author, it's an amazing, humbling, incredible feeling. And I myself, like, I really love Coyote as a person and just as a character. Like, she's really, really fun to write because she's very, very different from me in every way. She sees things differently than me, says things differently than me, but I just think that she's good company and I really enjoy writing her. So from the time I finished the first book, I thought, man, I would love to spend more time with this kid. I would love to see what happens next in her life. But, you know, you can't just have a character for a book. You have to have a story. Nothing was coming to mind as far as what could her next adventure be? What could the next plot be? But I was always just thinking, man, I would love to write another Coyote book. And then, one day I got an idea. And I thought, oh, that could be it. That could be a great follow-up story that would kind of scratch the same itch as the first one. So if someone read the first one and read the second one and liked the first one, they would like the second one, but it's still different enough that it's not just kind of rehashing all the same stuff. And so once I got that idea, I thought, oh, here we go. Like, I cannot wait to spend another year with Coyote Sunrise. So I put aside whatever I was working on and jumped into writing this one and had a great time writing it. So it's really exciting to have this book about to be out there in the world in readers' hands.
Wonderful. And at the start of every journey, Coyote and her dad, Rodeo, welcome new passengers aboard their trusty bus named Jaeger with three questions. And I feel like it's only fitting for me to ask you those questions.
Sure.
So number one, what is your favorite book?
You know, no surprise. I'm a big reader, always have been, always will be. And so I don't have one favorite book or 10 favorite books. I've got like 400 favorite books. I'm sure you and a lot of listeners are exactly the same way. So, if I had to pick one, so I mean, it's kind of cheating just to do a whole list. I think I'm going to pick a couple though anyway. Esperanza Rising by Pam Munoz-Ryan is amazing.
Ooh, yes.
Yep. Ghost by Jason Reynolds is amazing. The One and Only Ivan by Catherine Applegate is amazing. And The Book Thief, also amazing. I mean, those ones just popped into my head. But I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of favorite books.
Excellent. And you even pay tribute to Ivan with Coyote's Cat.
I do. And actually, Ghost and Esperon's Rising are both mentioned in the first book as well.
Ah, excellent. And number two, what is your favorite place?
My favorite place, if I had to pick one, there is a place. I like the outdoors. I like hiking and backpacking and camping. And there's a place here in Washington State, way up in the mountains in the Cascades, called the Enchantments. And this is this cluster of lakes way above the tree line, and this beautiful otherworldly environment with mountain goats scampering around. And it's really fragile, so you have to apply for a permit, and they limit how many people can go up there. And it's a several day adventure and a rigorous hike to get there, but it's just the most beautiful place in the world. So the Enchantments up in the Alpine Lakes Wilderness area is my favorite place.
Sounds amazing. And number three, what is your favorite sandwich?
Easier question. I gave my favorite to Coyote, which when she answers this question in the book. So my favorite sandwich, and I'm a big eater. I love all sandwiches, basically, but a BLT. I mean, it's simple, it's classic, but a BLT done right is perfect. Although I would add avocado. So I guess a blat is my favorite sandwich.
That is a classic. And now we're off. So the book takes place actually during the early days of the COVID pandemic. And I'm interested how you navigated writing about such a difficult moment in our recent history through the eyes of a young girl.
Right. And that was something I was kind of excited to do, because I think it's really interesting that the whole COVID epidemic, ongoing to a certain extent, and the shutdowns and it was traumatic for everybody, traumatic for society. Obviously, people passing away was traumatic as well, for sure. But even just the school closures and things, and that was a huge part of kids' lives. Kids today who are in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, that was only a few years ago, and that was a big deal. And I think it struck me that it's really interesting that you don't see that a lot in pop culture, in TV shows and books. There's not a lot of stories that happen with that in the background. It's kind of like we're all ignoring it or pretending it didn't happen. But I mean, the kids definitely know what happened. It was a big deal in their lives. And so I just thought that would be realistic to include that in the background. And I thought it would be interesting to kind of acknowledge the crazy, traumatic, difficult, interesting time that we all went through just a couple years ago. And so, and it also worked out with the timing of the book. It also kind of served the plot, because Coyote has another journey she needs to go on, but she's enrolled in school. And so she's not going to be able to go on it, but then school gets closed. And so it kind of three birds with one stone kind of situation. And it was tricky to navigate for a couple of reasons. One, logistically, when they're on the road, if stores and restaurants are closed, that makes their life tricky. So that impacts the plot in a couple little ways and in one big way, having to deal with those just logistical realities. But also, like, just as a writer, wanting to thread that needle to be as respectful and accurate as I could, to not make it like just a fun plot, or to not acknowledge the fact that it wasn't just a vacation from school, and isn't it weird that we're wearing masks? Like, it was a scary time. And again, I've used the word three times, but kind of a traumatic time, and for a lot of folks, and really a big deal. And so I didn't want it to make it just seem like a fun plot device or a quirky little detail in the background of the setting. Like, it was a big deal. And so trying to thread that needle of making it realistic and interesting, but acknowledge the craziness and the difficulty of those times. But again, it's not a COVID book. That's too soon for anyone to write that, and I'm not interested. But that is just kind of happening in the background of this story.
Absolutely. And I do think you balance Coyote's grief and the larger sense of loss at that time with hope and joy. I'm wondering, is that instinctual for you?
It's both instinctual and purposeful. I'm not a terribly gloomy person, even though all of my books, and this comes up in school with this all the time, all of my books have some real sadness in them, and usually some pretty tragic backstory, Coyote very much included. But I'm not at all a gloomy guy, and I have no reason to be gloomy. I've been very blessed and fortunate in my life. And so that just comes through in my stories. I'm probably not ever going to write a just dark, dour, pensive, pessimistic book, because that's just kind of not who I am. And so I'm, you know, you look for that joy and that redemption and that, I guess, a happy ending, for lack of a better term, in life and in stories. But also, when I sit down to write a story, yes, I want it to be interesting and thoughtful and maybe make readers think about big things and feel big things and wonder about big things. But at the end of the day, I also want it to be a fun story. And I want kids or readers of any age to enjoy the book. And so I want a book that does offer different things, offer some humor, offer some sadness, offer some adventure, offer some thoughtfulness, offer, you know, different sides of life, because that's what life is like. And so, yeah, it's both purposeful and just kind of a part of who I am that I tried to weave those things into my stories.
Definitely. It is a very layered read, for sure. I noticed that Mary Oliver's poetry plays a pivotal role in the story and in the mystery of where Coyote's mom wanted her final resting place to be. What drew you to Oliver and her collection, Red Bird?
Yeah, I've been exposed to the poetry of Mary Oliver, I've loved it. She's my favorite poet. She's my wife's favorite poet. We have numerous Mary Oliver books, and oftentimes, you know, at night, our last thing, we turn off the lights as we read a Mary Oliver poem. Like, I think that her poetry is beautiful and sparse and profound and just remarkable. And so that was already kind of in me. And then I was looking for, again, the plot. What could the plot of the next Coyote book be? And then I had this idea for the plot and this secret message written down in a book, and the book gets lost. And so Coyote has to find the book to find that message to, you know, complete this journey. And so that could have been any book in the whole world. But looking for a book that means something to me and a book that kind of fits the plot, the like you said, the combination of sadness and joy and beauty, and the poems of Mary Oliver in general really do that. But then I found one that I thought really spoke to why or how it was used in the story originally by Coyote's mom, and also just how it matches up with this narrative itself. And so I thought that's perfect. That's just, it's perfect. It fits Coyote. It fits her family. It fits the story. And then it just happens to be in, it's also in her like greatest hits, the selected poems or whatever. But that didn't come out until I believe after it would have worked for this story. And so then I went to the collection that it was originally published in, which is Redbird, which has a short book full of many beautiful poems. And then there I was off to the races. I had all the pieces clicked into place.
Oh, that's lovely that it has a really personal connection for you. So continuing on this literary theme, throughout the book, Coyote stops at several independent bookstores looking for that cherished book. I would love to know if you have any favorite indies in your neighborhood or that you've discovered in your travels.
Oh, for sure. And I'm a huge lover of independent bookstores. And any time I'm on a trip or I'm on a family trip, wherever we go, I look in Google Maps and where are the bookstores? I love to stop in and buy books and see the staff. That my favorite thing is to go into an independent bookstore and look at the staff recommendations, because I'll be exposed to books that I wouldn't have found otherwise. And some of my favorite reads are books that I knew nothing about, but I was at a bookstore and it was a staff recommends this book. And so I love independent bookstores. And so, yes, I've got many, many favorites. Blue Willow Bookshop in Houston is amazing. My local in Leavenworth, Washington is A Book for All Seasons, which is fantastic. Secret Garden Books and Brick and Mortar Books over in the Seattle area are amazing. Green Bean Books in Portland is fantastic. I'm going to leave some off. I know I am. But I love bookstores and I love book people. And I love that bookstores have made such a comeback over the last decade after really getting dealt a blow by online shopping. And they've really been roaring quietly and not so quietly back, because they're my favorite places, my favorite people. So even though the bookstores in this story are not real for various reasons, they're all made up. It was definitely like it just dovetailed perfectly with me to have that be an element of the story.
Yes. And it's so good to see that many bookstores have really weathered the pandemic and made a comeback.
For sure.
So music is also an important element in the story, and it provides this kind of emotional score for the road trip. Did you have a special playlist that you turned to while you were writing?
For this book, no, because I cannot write well if I have music playing that has words in it.
Okay.
So for some of my books in the past, yeah, I've done some kind of classical music that I would find book songs that fit the mood I was shooting for. But this one, no, because the songs that would be the soundtrack to this book would definitely have lyrics. And so even though there are a number of songs mentioned, because it's another road trip story, and one of my favorite things about road trips is listening to music and jamming out and singing along and rolling down the windows. And so that's very much a part of this story, but not so much while I was actually writing it.
Got it. And speaking of hitting the road, do you have any plans for a book tour?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am leaving next, I don't know, March, the Sunday before the book comes out, March 2nd, maybe. And I'm hitting a number of cities. Big thanks to my publisher for setting all this up. It's fantastic support. And hitting most, we're focusing on schools. So we are working with independent bookstores in each place, including Blue Willow Books in Houston, actually. But each day I'm visiting two different schools in the area, kind of all across the country, from San Francisco to Houston and a bunch of spots in between, and visiting schools that have read Coyote, the first one. And then I'm meeting with the students and the staff and doing a presentation and talking about Coyote Lost and Found. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Excellent. And what's your hope for your readers?
Well, my hope is always the same. And I talked about this a little bit. Like, yes, I try to make my books, whatever, good, of literary quality, so that hopefully, you know, teachers like them and parents and librarians. But that's not my main goal. I, you know, I was a librarian for years, and most of my students were reluctant readers. And so my job was to try to get them excited about books and get them reading books and rereading books and coming back for more books. And that really has impacted my writing, both like mechanically, like I tend to have shorter chapters and big hooks and lots of cliffhangers to keep those reluctant readers reading. But also, again, at the end of the day, my number one goal is to write a book that kids love and kids will enjoy reading and kids will be glad that they read. It makes them learn stuff, think stuff. Awesome. Definitely that on purpose as well. But I want to write a story that people will have fun reading and keep wanting to turn the pages and read the next chapter.
Oh, that's wonderful. And books are so important to Coyote too. At the start of the story, we see her taking refuge in her school library as she's trying to adjust.
Yes, for sure. And libraries still are right up there with independent bookstores are my favorite places. When I was a kid, my family moved around a lot. We moved like every year, basically. And so everything in my life was always changing. And I was always going to different schools, different teachers, different friends, different houses. But every school that I went to had a library. And the library was my safe place because on my first day at a new school, which I had a lot of those, everything in that new school would be different from my old school, just would. But I could walk into the school's library and probably find books that I loved or a series that I already loved or an author that I already loved. And so libraries were like my home and like my safe place and like the constant in my life. And so they were my favorite room in every school, and they still are my favorite room in every school. And so you can see that there's a lot of things that I love in this story. No surprise. I think that's probably true of any author, but this one especially, with bookstores and libraries and Mary Oliver and music and stories. It's just the things that are in your heart end up in your stories. At least they do for me, and at least for sure in this one.
Now, having finished the new book, do you feel like Coyote's story is complete and she can ride off into the sunset or sunrise?
You know, tricky question. So I don't know the answer to it because I had no plans for a sequel. I just was hoping that an idea would come to me, or I guess a next story. And I currently have no plans for a third one. But that being said, like as soon as I finished this book, I had the exact same feelings. Like, man, I love writing this kid. I love having her talking in my head. She cracks me up. She inspires me. I've never identified with a character as much as I have with Coyote. And so, but you know, you don't want to go to the same well too many times. You don't want to wear out your readers. You don't want to just keep, you know, doing the same tricks. And so I would have to get a story idea that I thought was different enough and obviously good enough. But if that idea comes along, and I've been thinking about it, I would not hesitate because I just like her so much. And I like the idea of like three books. There's a nice balance to that. But I currently have no ideas. You know, writing a book takes a long time. Publishing a book takes a long time. So even if there ever were a third book, it would not come out for years. So big TBD and big question mark. But if an idea came along, I would love to spend more time with Coyote for sure.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear the doors open. Meanwhile, I saw that you have a picture book debut coming in June. Can you share anything about that?
Sure, yeah, I'm a big picture book lover. Being an elementary librarian for years and being a dad and reading books to my kids every night, I just love picture books, and I've always dreamed of having a picture book come out. And so, dream come true. Here it comes in this June, and it is called Once Upon a Friend, and it is about how the friends that we make in books are friends that we never have to leave behind. You know, all of us, or most of us, probably have those books that we read and loved as a kid that our parents read to us with those characters we loved, whether it's, you know, Berenstain Bears or whatever. And those are characters and those stories are still in our hearts. And we come back to them throughout our lives and remember them throughout our lives, up through adulthood. And then sometimes we end up reading them to our kids. And so this, it's kind of about that, but it's from perspective of a young reader who falls in love with a character in a book, like so many of us do, like I did, like my kids did. And then it kind of follows this friendship this kid has with this book character as they grow up and face challenges in life, and how they can remember that friend and lean on that friend to get through the hard times and the good times. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. I did not do the illustrations. Shinyan Moon did the illustrations. I would be a terrible illustrator because I can barely draw a stick figure, but they did a beautiful job in the illustrations, and I'm super excited for that book to come out.
Well, looking forward to it, and congratulations on your new book. Thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I had a wonderful time chatting with you.
Once again, I've been speaking with Dan Gemeinhart, whose new book, Coyote Lost and Found, is due out March 5th from Henry Holt Books for Young Readers. Thank you for listening to PW Kids Cast.